The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God
and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
Amen.
The text of our sermon today is 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 3 to 5. For I delivered to you, first of all, that which I also received, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures, and that he was seen by Cephas, and then by the 12. Lord God, Heavenly Father, sanctify us through your truth. Your word is truth. Amen. Dear friends in Christ, today we are continuing our series on the Nicene Creed. Today is part 6, and we are focusing on the words, the third day he rose again according to the Scriptures. The third day, that is today, Sunday. Now, why did the early Christians choose this day of the week for their public worship? Why didn't they retain the Jewish Sabbath? After all, they were bound up in many ways with the Old Testament church, which worshipped on Saturday. Or why didn't they choose Friday, the day that Christ died? We know that Paul said that he was determined to know nothing among his converts except Christ and him crucified. But the Christians did not choose either of these days. The reason is that they realized that there would be no Christianity without the resurrection of Jesus Christ. But Jesus Christ did rise, they confessed it, and so do we. We do so again today as we consider the power of the resurrection. Christ rising again is a master key that unlocks the door for us to understand the past, to see purpose in the present, and to find hope for the future. May the Lord bless our meditation. Firstly, understand in the past. He is risen. This is the witness of all four gospel writers. This is a climactic event to which they all witness. Christ is not in the tomb. He is risen. The women who came to the tomb on Easter morning declared the resurrection of Christ. The disciples who followed them had their skepticism changed to conviction by the resurrection. The 11 who were locked in the upper room were transformed by it from fearful men to faithful followers. Thomas, who demanded empirical proof, received it as he touched the risen Lord and had his doubt converted to conviction. As if this were not enough, there was the witness of more than 500 brethren at once who had seen the risen Lord, some of whom were living and could testify to the truth of Paul's proclamation. Looking at the two testament, we can say, he rose again according to the Scriptures. He is risen. The Lord is risen indeed. However, it was St. Paul who first said that the third day he rose again according to the Scriptures. Now the phrase takes on an entirely different meaning, for the Scriptures to which Paul was referring were undoubtedly not the New Testament accounts of the resurrection, but rather they were the Old Testament sacred writings that were known so well in his day. The phrase the third day is important. Remember Matthew chapter 12 verse 40. For as Jonah was 3 days and 3 nights in the belly of the great fish, so will the Son of Man be 3 days and 3 nights in the heart of the earth. What Paul is saying in his statement was that the resurrection of Jesus unlocks the meaning of everything God had been doing in the past in the history of the world. It was this same sort of proclamation that convinced the two disciples walking along the dusty road to Emmaus on the first Easter. As they considered all that had happened, the capture, the trial, and the crucifixion of their master and teacher, they expressed their despair. It was then that the stranger who had met them on the road, Jesus himself, said, as you read in Luke chapter 24, verses 25 to 27, O foolish ones, and slow of heart to believe in all that the prophets have spoken. Ought not the Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded to them in all the Scriptures the things concerning himself. The refrain becomes out loud and clear in the lay witnesses of the first apostles. John speaks of what God foretold by the mouth of all his prophets, and what all the prophets from Samuel and those who follow, as many as have spoken, have also foretold these days. Coming to Cornelius, a Roman centurion, Peter witnessed to the risen Christ, to whom all the prophets witnessed. And Paul wrote in our text that he rose again the third day, according to the Scriptures. The resurrection of Christ has the power to give us understanding of the past. There is no doubt about it. As they lived their lives from day to day, the children of Israel wandering in the wilderness, Joseph in prison as a result of his brother's treachery, and all the others whose lives made up the story of the Old Testament, wondered just what God was up to. What was the meaning of the rise and fall of all the kingdoms? The changing fortunes of Israel, captivity and conquest, and then captivity again. Peter says that of this salvation the prophets have inquired and searched carefully, who prophesied of the grace that would come to you, searching what or what manner of time the Spirit of Christ who was in them was indicating when he testified beforehand the sufferings of Christ and the glories that would follow. They knew God had a plan, but the way he was operating did not make much sense to them. It did not, that is, until the third day Christ rose again, according to the Scriptures. Then it became clear that in everything he did, God was acting for their benefit. God was totally involved in all their activity, directing it towards solving the dilemma in which they found themselves, the dilemma of sin, with all its accompanying results of sickness and poverty, despair and disillusionment, and, of course, death. God knew what he was doing, even though they could not see it at the time. And at times we cannot see it either. Looking back on the history of the world, even reading an account like that given to us in the Scriptures, we cannot fathom God's actions. One event follows another, and the activity becomes history. The frustrating thing is that it simply seems to happen over and over again without rhyme or reason. We cannot see what God is up to. We cannot, that is, when we forget that the Christ is the Christ for us, and that the third day he rose again according to the Scriptures for each one of us. But when we see it and remember it, then we see him as Lord, not the victim of the events of history, but the Lord of the events of history. He is the Lord for us, who are the creatures of history, with all its frustration and sometimes apparent meaninglessness. An old device is occasionally used to entice people into buying new things. The cereal companies sometimes use it. It consists of a rather meaningless drawing or a picture with hidden pictures in it. The challenge is to find the meaning of the drawing or to locate the hidden figures. The trick is that the only way it can be done is by using a glass that comes in the box. When you use it, the picture makes sense and the hidden figures can be located at once. Something of this is what happened, and what happens for us, when we remember and confess that the third day he rose again according to the Scriptures. The resurrection of Jesus Christ makes sense of the past. Secondly, purpose in the present. But more than that, the resurrection of Christ gives purpose to life in the present. When they understood that the third day he rose again according to the Scriptures, the mood of the disciples changed dramatically. From fearful and frustrated disciples, they were transformed into jubilant giants of witness who turned the world upside down. You may be familiar with the setting of the liturgy known as the 20th century Mass. In the portion of the service that includes the Nicene Creed which we are studying, the change of the mood is brought out dramatically by the music. As it speaks of the work of Christ, beginning with his birth and on through to his suffering and was buried, the musical centre becomes more and more sombre. It is somewhat as St. Paul describes the humiliation of Christ, who was made in the likeness of man, took upon himself the form of a servant, and humbled himself unto death, even death on a cross. Then comes that marvellous phrase of our text, announced with fanfares and full orchestra, that shocks you out of all liturgy. The third day he rose again, according to the scriptures. Something like that happened to the first disciples. They were no longer just followers. They were now witnesses. Witnesses to the most wonderful, earth-shaking event that had ever occurred. They had a mission now. And when you have a mission, there is also a purpose. Life can never again be a boring, frustrating, or unhappy existence. Never, that is, unless you forget that the third day he rose again according to the scriptures. But here is the problem. The phrase and the fact become a Sunday exercise rather than a constant confession. It is so easy to let this happen as we are caught up in the daily routine, the rat race of trying to maintain a living with some measure of security. We find ourselves going around in circles, one day blending into the next and indistinguishable from the following. Boredom sets in, and it is not very easy to be happy and optimistic when you are bored. Maybe the reason is that we forget that Jesus rose and that his resurrection gives purpose to life in the present. Life is now not a matter of things, but it is a mission involving people. People for whom life and history do not make any sense, and who, because it doesn't make sense, are bored and frustrated too. The mission is to lift them out of their boredom and their frustration by confessing that Jesus rose and that now life does make sense because it doesn't consist of things. Rather, it consists of people. And when you get involved in the problems, the hopes and the dreams of people, you can never be bored. Jesus knew it very well. For he said in Matthew chapter 16, verse 25, "For whoever desires to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will find it." There is joy in losing your life in the mission that gives meaning to all of life. The resurrection of Christ gives your life purpose in the present. And thirdly, hope for the future. The resurrection of Christ also gives us hope for the future. Without the power of the resurrection, there is no future. We are constantly reminded that everything has a beginning, also has an end. Nature holds no real hope for a person. It only reminds him of the uncertainty of life and anything in it. The day begins, but it also ends. There is spring and summer, but there is also autumn and winter. There is birth, but there is also death. This is the ultimate reality that constantly confronts every person who stops his busy life long enough to think about it. The end of life is death. But the resurrection of Christ speaks of something else. It assures us that in the midst of life, we are not in death, but that in the midst of death, we are in life. Because the third day, he rose again according to the scriptures. It is no longer true for those who believe in Jesus as their Lord that the end of life is death. Rather for them, the end of death is eternal life. When Christ, in whom all history finds its meaning, ended history as its Lord, he reversed the march of history. It is no longer a movement in a circle, or worse, a march from life to death. It is the exact opposite. In Jesus, there is hope. Not a hope based on some vague wish, but a hope based on the certainty that Jesus, who experienced death and all its horror and bitterness, rose again from death. We do not realize all of this fully now. There is much that seems to contradict this hope. Yet the faith which God has given us by his Holy Spirit is a guarantee that it is true. It is the Holy Spirit who causes us to pray in one of the collects of the church. "Lord, you have prepared for those who love you good things beyond human understanding. Fill our hearts with love to you, so that we love you above everything else. And give us the good things you have promised, which are more than we can desire." So the resurrection of Jesus Christ makes all the difference in the world. It gives meaning to everything we do. We are not working for time now, but for eternity. Whatever we do, we can do it with confidence because we know that with our Lord, we have already passed from death to life. We can do it with peace, even though life may not seem peaceful, because we know that in Christ we have already won the victory. It may not appear that we have passed from death to life when there is still so much death in the world. It may not seem that we will be victorious in the struggle of day-to-day living, but such doubt is only for the moment we forget Jesus, who is the Lord of all history. When we turn our attention to Jesus once again, and not to ourselves and the things that obstruct our view of him, then we know that victory is certain in our lives too, since the third day he rose again according to the scriptures. So in conclusion, the power of Jesus' resurrection gives meaning to our life, for it helps us to understand the past, it gives purpose to the present, and provides hope for the future. Amen. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, will keep our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.